Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Music of the 17th century German composer Johann Schupp. We heard something called Nobleman, performed by the Trio Settecento. Trio Settecento is a Chicago-based period instrument ensemble that was formed in 1997. The members are Rachel Barton Pine, violinist, John Mark Rosendahl, viola da gamba and cello, and David Schrader, harpsichord and organ. The Trio Settecento has done an album which reflects the music of the nations of Northern Europe in the 17th century. Tender personal thoughts and relationships are confined to interior spaces, small circles of friends and relations, and no ostentation whatsoever. In comparison to the international High Baroque style, these chamber works are intimate and precious. And we'll discuss this in depth with violinist Rachel Barton Pine. Welcome to Crossover once again, Rachel.
Great to be back.
And back in a very, very different guise. You're always unearthing music that we have not heard before. And this kind of falls into that category, I think, although you're not alone on this album, the beautiful German bouquet. You have had the Settecento trio for some time now, haven't you?
Yes, actually, my ensemble came together in 1996 to record the complete violin sonatas of Georg Friedrich Handel for Sadie Records. And it was after the attention that that album got, and we just loved playing together so much that we decided to be an official chamber group. And so Trio Settecento has been touring and performing since 97 and has now released two albums under our own name, last year's An Italian Sojourn and now our new disc, A German Bouquet, which will be followed next year by a French CD and then after that English and so on and
so forth. Yeah. What was very interesting about the notes that I had about your preparation of this album was that you originally had used a cello. The cellist had to switch, or you switched from the viola da gamba to the organ, or the harpsichord is switched. What was that?
Yes, well, basically, on A German Bouquet, we change up the continuo instrumentation based on the composer's indications as well as what we feel would best serve each individual piece of music. The German composers from the 16 and 1700s had such a variety of styles, from influences of the Northern German polyphonic school to, French-inspired works, Italian-inspired influences. And so, therefore, having a variety of instruments really helped bring each piece to life in a different way. John Mark Rosendahl, our bowed bass player, who has played his Baroque cello on Trio Settecento's previous records, on this recording, A German Bouquet, he mostly plays his 1617 English William Turner viola da gamba, a beautiful instrument. For all of the repertoire except the Italianate Piscendil sonata, where he goes back to his normal cello. And then David Schrader, our keyboard player, alternates between the harpsichord and the positive organ.
Which was what I was referring to, because it was interesting that I had read that you had to make many changes because from the tempi to the mood, the articulations, and so on.
Tone colors, everything.
Because it was an organ and not a harpsichord.
Exactly. The harpsichord, is a much more percussive instrument. It's all about the pluck at the start of the notes. And then John Mark, as the bowed part of the continuo team, would really be responsible for the middles and ends of the notes and the sustain, whereas the organ is essentially a wind instrument, in fact.
Yes, of course.
And, and really does have a sustain, but not nearly as much attack at the start of the notes. So John Mark then, really actually took on that role. And so they're almost swapping roles in a way as they play, with different combinations of instruments. And then as the violinist in the group, of course, I only play the violin, but depending on who else I'm or what other instruments my instrument is blending or contrasting with, it's really a great joy, you know, to get to jam with Viola da Gamba or Positive Organ. And gosh, I just feel really lucky because, you know, not every modern soloist gets to indulge in that stuff.
You're playing on a modern violin or a Baroque violin?
Oh, definitely a Baroque violin, yeah. As a period instrument ensemble, and the particular violin that I play with, Trio Settecento, ironically, it's younger than my modernized violin that I use for all of my regular concerto appearances, which is a 1742 Guarneri del Gesù, which, of
not
course,
bad.
Was
not
modernized.
Bad. Yes, of course.
my Baroque violin is a glorious 1770 Nicola Galliano, which is very unusual in that it's in completely unaltered condition. It wasn't modernized and then re-baroqued or anything like that. It's actually been left untouched all these centuries. And so it still has its original neck, most of its original varnish. And of course, it's outfitted with gut strings, shorter fingerboard.
And it's tuned lower, isn't it, the Baroque? The Baroque instruments are tuned a little bit lower, aren't they, than our
current? Yes. Now, of course, you know, in the 1600s and 1700s, there was not nearly as much standardization of pitch. If you would go to a different town, from town to town, from decade to decade, different, numbers of hertzes for A would have been used. But, of course, you can't be switching among all kinds of different pitches, especially with the keyboard instruments in the course of a concert or a recital program on albums. So A415 has really become the sort of standard, middle ground as far as period instrument performance. However, actually for Trio Settecento's next album that we'll be recording in August of French music from the time of Louis the 16th, we'll be using one half step lower than that even.
My.
Sort of a modern G natural, which is A equals 392 hertz.
Woo.
So that's going to be quite interesting. When people do classical period repertoire, Mozart and so on, with historically informed interpretation, they tend to use A equals 430 hertz as the standard pitch.
That's much brighter, I would think.
400, well, it's halfway in between the 415 of the Baroque
and the 440
of today's normal pitch. So, yeah, so there's a lot to get used to, especially for those of us burdened with perfect pitch like I am.
Yes, I've heard that.
Quite the challenge.
Yeah, I've heard that's kind of a curse when you have perfect pitch, because if it's not exactly right, you suffer terribly.
Exactly.
I know it's difficult.
And it was really bad when I was a little kid and I would show up for a concert and, you know, the piano was, you know,
that
was accompanying me was, well, it's perfectly in tune, but maybe to an A441.
Oh, my.
I would play every single one of the notes of my entire piece exactly the same slight amount flat.
Well, that's really incredible. Well, of course, you became very, very adept at that, but I would imagine.
Took a lot of hard work.
Oh, I
So people who are jealous of people with perfect pitch, you've got nothing to be jealous of, believe me.
Yeah, I have spoken to several people who just say it's impossible, especially when you're even improvising, too, I think, in the jazz genre as well. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and yet it's a wonderful thing. Now, all of the music that you are recording with Trio Settecento is basically 17th century music?
No, music from the 1600s and 1700s. We do have everything from the early Baroque to the high Baroque. And really, when you're talking about Germany, of course, everything comes around to J.S. Bach. This album can be described as Bach, his contemporaries and predecessors.
But it's not fair. They really do get eclipsed by him, because I have to tell you personally, when I was looking at the composers, of course, I knew Buxtehude, and I knew Muffat, and then Schmelzer I knew, but the others I really was not acquainted with. And I said, oh, well, the Bach.
Schrödinger, Erlebach, Piesendel.
Yeah. No. Nobody knows them.
I mean, it is true that Bach's music, you know, stands above everyone else's. But on the other hand, the music world would be so much less rich without the French-inspired, gorgeous harmonies of Erlebach or the structural inventiveness of Muffat, or the, just virtuosity of Pisendel. Each of these composers really had their own distinct personality, and, hence our title, A German Bouquet. There's really no national characteristic that defined German music at this time. There were so many different international influences that composers were drawing on to greater or lesser degrees, and each one really defining his own style in his own way. So it's really just amazing to hear the sheer variety of music coming out of that region.
Now, this was really for the people, I guess, for home and consumption.
Well, it was, if you were not wealthy enough.
Yeah, it was. Well, it wasn't high court music, was it? Or was it played in the court?
John Mark Rosendahl says it so well that, one can really epitomize the best of Italian Baroque music with the large-scale operas and oratorios, whereas in Germany it was the chamber music where the art found its greatest heights, music of an intimate scale. And, everybody in these little royal households was listening to, very up-close and personal type of music.
Now, once again, just to return to that positive organ for the audience, what is the difference between the positive organ? Is it more like a harmonium or?
I guess we should pronounce it positive.
Positive, okay.
Yes.
You're positive about that.
Exactly. Not the negative organ, the other one.
Okay. So now, is this a small kind of, was it bellows that we're used to?
Yeah, we no longer have the choir boy pumping the bellows. It's plugged into an electrical outlet to give it its wind. But the mechanics and the sound are exactly what you would have heard during Bach's lifetime, which is pretty amazing to sort of go back in time early in that way.
But the structure of it in terms of the, I don't want to say modern organ, but in the church organs,
it's not an installation in a building. It really is about the size and shape more or less of an upright piano.
Okay.
And so it's portable and it's self-contained.
Okay. Now, again, what was the reason that you decided to, you're always looking, I know, for repertoire. You personally, I think, are very interested in finding repertoire that has not been discovered. Were you asked to do this, or did you decide that this would be something that you would love to bring to the public?
Really the latter, Trio Settecento, ever since we released our Handel Sonatas recording in 97 and decided to be an official group. We've been touring and, so for more than a decade, we've been presenting before the public these wonderful programs of music from France and Italy and Germany and all of our Baroque favorites from well-known as well as obscure guys. And we decided that rather than have our next albums follow the typical early music path of focusing on a narrow swath of the repertoire, maybe a particular set of sonatas by a specific composer or something like that, that we would instead present recital programs, broad overviews on record, so that people could really enjoy what we've been sharing with them in concert for all these years. And especially the fact that I play most of my performances throughout the year as a modern soloist. We really feel like Trio Settecento has the potential to perhaps introduce people who are used to mostly listening to 19th and 20th century symphonic repertoire to the joys of early music, almost crossing over in that way.
Yes.
And fans of the modern violin discovering the Baroque violin, not just the early music aficionados.
Well, I
for
think
our group
that,
and so
I think
this
that
is really, this is really introducing people to what exists in a way.
Well, I think that we've heard repertoire on the Baroque instruments and people kind of, it's more popular, I guess, to play Bach as well on the Baroque instruments. But I really think you have brought to light, it's a very scholarly album and certainly very delightful to listen to. And what can I say?
I'm glad you think so.
I hope that you will have a tremendous success with this. Once again, it is on the CD label, I guess, CD. Beckers, and it's the German Bouquet. And Rachel, thank you so much for joining us here on Crossover today with your lovely music and your very erudite explanation also as well.
Oh, well, I'm trying my best. Okay. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.